Okay. Posting the Kvodatzanya, I want to thank the yeshiva for asking me to speak on this topic and in this context. I also want to start by clarifying just a little bit of a misconception. If you're medayik in the flyer, which is written by excellent people, so all things being equal, default, you have the right to be medayik in the flyer. So the impression is that this brief presentation will be about the theme of Bechira Chavshis, in the Rav's writings. But as I understood the original discussion, people would be preparing that as an example of some of his views, and I think it's a great topic, and I certainly would be happy to address that topic, probably, if there's a little bit more time. I'm going to exercise the suggestion from my daughter. I'm going to exercise my own Bechira Chavshis, and I'm going to speak about a slightly different topic. The truth is that in Hilchos Tshuva, if you look at the Rambam's structure, there really are like three, many more actually, but if you have to break it down, there are really three rungs, to Hilchos Tshuva. Hilchos Tshuva begins, as it should, in Perek Aleph, and with the Koteret, and that zeroes in on the definition and the concept and the implications of Vidui and Tshuva, and that's what I'm going to speak about. And then, of course, in the fifth Perek is kind of the Bria HaTichon. Rabbi Blau told me that he spoke twice about this this week. It's a very critical topic, and as I say, I'm happy to speak about it another time. And that is the principle of Bechira Chavshis, of free will, which is the linchpin for Schar Va'onesh and the philosophical significance of tshuva, of repentance. And then, of course, the third rung is the culmination of the climax of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, and that transitions in from the end of Sefer Mado, which Hilchos Tshuva concludes, into Sefer Ahava. So if you had to split up Hilchos Tshuva into three, it would be the, of course, central theme of all of Hilchos Tshuva, which is Vidui and Tshuva, which we'll speak a little bit about, Bechira, and Avos Hashem. But what I'd like to do is speak a little bit about the first theme, the topic. Number one, it sets the tone for Hilchos Tshuva. And number two, in this brief presentation, the goal is try to capture just a little bit, characterize and to try to crystallize the Rav Zatzal's thinking on tshuva, but also to convey just a little bit, in the time that we have, something of his, approach and a feeling, for his unique, not only style, but substance. And I think any of these topics really reflect that. The Rav was an incredibly fertile mind. He spoke about everything in a very creative way and left his indelible, imprint and imprimatur on all topics. But I think that there's something very singular about his perspective, especially about the first problem in all of Hilchos Tshuva, namely the problem of Vidui and Tshuva, that particularly underscores a unique facet of his approach, not only as someone who magnificently represents continuity in the world of Bris, but someone who's nofech mishalo, whose singular contribution to that world and expansion of it is particularly noteworthy. And hopefully this will become clear, even in the brief time that we have, by the example that I bring. Before we get to that, let me just say as a way of introduction, the Gemara says in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Zayin, that, Chayiv Adam, Lekabel Pnei Rabo Berega, that on Regalim, there is an obligation to visit one's Rebbe. The question whether this applies, only on Regalim, or it also applies on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, is a very interesting theme. To use the words in the Navi, Lo Shabbos Hayom, Lo Chodesh Hayom, the Turi Evin in Masechet Megillah says that Chodesh and Shabbos which implied that on Chodesh and Shabbos there is an obligation of Kabbalah's Pnei Rabbo, actually refer to, you know, the super Chodesh, you know, the uber Rosh Chodesh, which is Rosh Hashanah, and the super Shabbos, you know, Shabbos Shabbos. But whether there technically is or isn't an obligation to be Mekabel Pnei Rabbo on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, the larger principle that there's a unique, you know, connection between the celebration of any Kedushas Hayom and the Torah that we receive from our Rabbeim and the Mesorah that we have in how to relate to that particular Kedushas Hayom, that certainly is true no matter what. And I believe it's even more acutely true in some respects when it comes to the Yomim Noraim. As the Rav would have noted, and maybe he did, it's fascinating that this halacha of Chayiv Adam Lekabel Pnei Rabbo Beregel is not codified in Hilchos Yom Tov or in Hilchos Matzah or Lulav, but in Hilchos Talmud Torah. And again, the world of Brisk, as everybody I'm sure is familiar, you know, puts great stock in the, not only in the substance, you know, of what the Rambam says, but in the system as well, in the organization, in the context. So the Rambam's choice to put Chayiv Adam Lekabel Pnei Rabbo Beregel in Hilchos Talmud Torah, you know, really speaks volume. What it says is that even though this is a din about Regel, it accentuates the all-year-round debt that we have to our Rabbeim, to the people that we look to, you know, to represent and embody, you know, what Torah is all about and to inspire us. And if this is true generally, it's certainly true about anybody who had this gush to be a Talmud of Moreinu v'Rabbeinu, the Rav Zatzal, who's, you know, just remarkable giant presence, you know, in our midst, and the, of course, transformative impact on all of his Talmidim and on the character of this Beis Medrash and this yeshiva is just, you know, beyond description. The idea is, you know, that when it comes to a moed, and even more so Yom Noroim, because they're really, you know, Mishuna b'chasima, to use the language of Masachet Sofrim, and Mishuna in their dinim. It's like a bubble in time. You have to really understand what the Yom Noroim are all about and what the opportunities spiritually are, how much it's part of the rest of the year and how much the opportunities, you know, distinguish it. And, you know, the impact of studying Torah with people who are attuned, you know, to these kind of nuances and who, you know, leave an unforgettable, you know, impression. Their musdyuknam is so powerful that you associate your understanding of concepts and your experiences, you know, with the Torah that they taught. You know, that makes Chayiv Adam Lekabel Pnei Rabbo Beregel really a Hilchos Talmud Torah Halacha. You almost can't, you know, stand Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, a very pervasive theme in the Rav's thinking, on any Moed, and particularly, you know, on Yom Kippur, where the Torah uses that language, and on the Yom Noroim broadly, you know, without, you know, being impacted, you know, by the personality of, and also the Torah that is conveyed in conjunction with personality, you know, of the great Chachmei HaMesorah who define, you know, the way, you know, that we think. So it's, you know, with a great sense of, you know, trepidation, but also Hakaras HaTov, you know, the sense of V'chayei Olam Nata B'Sochenu, you know, for being exposed to really a giant, someone, as I say, who, you know, whose impact is so enormous on all of us Talmidim and broadly on the Torah world, both in terms of his way of thinking, Derech HaChashiva, the tochen, the content, the image, the persona, the demus yukno, somebody to aspire to emulate and certainly always to be inspired by, you know, in the sense of Einecha Roos, you know, Es Morecha. This is true always, but it's especially true on the Yom Noroim where the stakes and opportunities and the palpable sense of Lifnei Hashem, you know, is really so great. So the goal and approach in the brief time that we have is to try to confront a particular issue, which, you know, not only the Rav's issue, for sure, but a very objective difficulty in the Rambam that, you know, from the very beginning, Mefarshim weighed in on, and to try to, you know, just briefly at least characterize, distill what the approach was, to kind of analyze, you know, what other people said and why the Rav found, you know, some of those perspectives unsatisfying. You know, sometimes in what you reject or what you exclude, you know, you are revealing or reflecting a perspective and an orientation. I think this is certainly true in this case, as we'll discuss in just a minute. And then to, you know, to zero in on the Rav's own suggestion or solution, but also to try to understand it and his application of it, you know, the broader horizon and link to Talmud Torah and to the system of halakha. And from there, also, the interface, something unique to the Rav, is what I was alluding to before, of kind of the halakha, the objective norm on the one hand, and, you know, the feelings, the experience that it should engender, the kiyum shebelev, you know, on the other, which I think is a particularly, not unique or singular, you know, in the sense of exclusive to the Rav, but something that, you know, highlights his approach and orientation, you know, much more, I think, than it does practically anyone else. So let's begin. We have limited time. So the Rambam in the beginning of the Chos Tshuva, it should be noted, this is not, you know, a comment connected to the Rav, but just general, people should be aware, you know, that the Rambam really transformed our understanding and our exposure, our perspective on Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam codified Hilchos Tshuva, created 10 chapters, you know, from, you know, his analysis of Shas and Medrash, you know, pulling, you know, different Mamare Chazal from different places, you know, from, of course, Masechet Yoma and Rosh Hashanah, but also Sanhedrin, you know, and other parts of Shas, Shavuos, of course. So the Rambam's structure in Hilchos Tshuva, I mentioned before that, you know, it's organized in a particular way, the beginning, the middle, the end, and of course the Tshuva part and the Bidui is something that he, you know, continues to return to after Parakeh until the beginning of Parakeh. So the Rambam's, you know, codification and systemization in general is something to pay enormous attention to. But, you know, even more so when he's the one who kind of created or contributed, you know, so much independently, like to the category that we're speaking of. So the Rambam's, you know, formulation of tshuva would be significant and require that we look at it meticulously and under a microscope no matter what. And this is even more true, you know, when it's Hilchos Tshuva, which he decided also to put in Sefer Mada, and as the culmination of Sefer Mada that leads into Sefer Av. That's a general statement by me, but that's a reality. The Rambam begins Hilchos Tshuva, and, you know, now that we know this, or we all knew it, but we're, you know, emphasizing it, so there should be, you know, greater anticipation and excitement. You know, how is the Rambam going to begin this, you know, landmark chapter? Tshuva is indispensable. Tshuva is obviously a linchpin in Avodas Hashem. It's something that Chazal thought, you know, shouldn't have been possible in terms of its causality. Famous Yerushalmi, you know, in Masechet Makos, you know, about that. It doesn't make any sense. It's against the laws of nature. People should, you know, have to answer for and be accountable for the things that they do. Even the halakha mostly believes that. That's Skarba Onesh and that's Bechira Chafshis that you've been reading about. So, you know, how is the Rambam, who plays such a dominant role in the, you know, formulation of Hilchos Tshuva, how is he going to initiate his presentation, you know, to the world? And, you know, we are not disappointed. The Rambam begins, you know, Hilchos Tshuva by formulating tshuva in a manner which, to say the least, was very controversial. The Rambam says, "Mitzvah sase achas v'husha yoshev achotei mechato lefnei Hashem v'yisvadeh." That the one commandment of Hilchos Tshuva, this is in the Koteret, is that, you know, returning from your chet lifnei Hashem, you know, and v'yisvadeh, and you will confess. The Rambam in Sefer Mitzvos, Mitzvah Ayin Gimel, likewise emphasizes Bidui, the confession, and in Perek Aleph Hilchos, Tshuva Halacha Aleph, the formulation is even more acute. Kol Mitzvos Shabbat Torah, Bein Aseh, Bein Lo Aseh, whether it's positive commandments or negative commandments, Imavar Adam Alachas Mehan, Bein Bezod, Bein Bishgaga, whether, you know, Bemezid, whether Bishogeg, if a person violated one of the commandments, Kishe Yase Tshuva, when he does tshuva, it's almost as if that is, you know, just background to what the Rambam is writing about. V'yashuv mecheto, and he, you know, returns from his state of chet. Then chayav, and the word chayav, of course, is a loaded term. We're talking about chiyuvim or mitzvos. The obligation expresses itself in lehisvados, to confess. And then this language of the Rambam is just, you know, a little bit, you know, shocking. Lifnei hakel baruch hu, in the presence of the Ribbono shel Olam. This language of lifnei hakel is something that the Rambam repeats in all three places. In the Koteret, it was hu yashu sheyashuv achotei mecheto lifnei Hashem biyisvadeh. The order is a little bit different. In Sefer Mitzvot, it's also lifnei Hashem. Shenemar isho isha kiyasu v'yisvadu eskatasama shelasu ze vidui dvar. And then the Rambam repeats, as if you didn't catch it, vidui ze mitzvas asei. This vidui is a positive commandment. And then he goes on to identify the details of what vidui, you know, encompasses. Ketzad mitzvadin, how do you do vidui? And the Rambam's kiddushim have not yet, you know, finished. Omer ona Hashem, Chatasi avisi pashati lefanecha, asisi kach lekach, where nichamti uboshti b'masai, le'omulam enichozu ledabar zeh, zeh ukara shal vidui, and for good measure, v'chalamar bel hisvado sumarich b'inyan zeh, hareza b'shubach, which we're all familiar with as, you know, resonating in our, echoing in our ears, like Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Mishnah in Arve Psachim, the Rambam in, you know, Hilchos Kamatzumatzah, when he talks about Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So he, you know, of course, says Kol Amar Barezim Meshubach, and then he speaks about the Parsha Bikurim, Kol Adoresh, you know, Parsha Zu, you know, Kol Amar Barezim Meshubach. So this is another Harezim Meshubach. Vidui, the Ribui is Meshubach. In a word, three things are noteworthy. Number one, it appears as if the Rambam is treating Tshuva as background or as something that is assumed rather than the focal point of the mitzvah. Number two, instead, alternatively, the Rambam is emphasizing confession. Now again, the Rambam is not responsible for you know, the role, the fact that there is a role for vidui in tshuva. I mean, there are plenty of sources, you know, for that. But the idea that the chiyuv is not tshuva but vidui, or that emphasis, that is a chiddush of the Rambam. And certainly requires an understanding. I'll explain why in a minute. And then the third form, third part, or actually four, is the lifnei hakel baruch hu. You know, what does that mean and why is that ubiquitous? And then the fourth part is the vidui, as he describes it, is, you know, packed. It's more than four. It's four A, B, C, D, but we're not going to go into all of it. But the starting of Ana Hashem and the echoing of the language of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, you know, that also is very mechudash in the Rambam. So the Rambam's initial presentation of Hilchos Tshuva, which he himself put such a personal stamp on and placed and located in such a strategic place, is challenging, mystifying, you know, to say the least. And indeed, the Mefarshim, you know, actually, it is very curious, again, nothing to do with the Rambam, but the initial Mefarshim on the Rambam, you know, like the Kesef Mishnah, the Magen Mishnah, the Lechem Mishnah, for some reason did not so much zero in on this whole vidui tshuva issue. You know, it took about another century or so, you know, for people to, you know, to get upset or, you know, to realize fully what the Rambam, you know, had accomplished here. But for example, the Mabit already in the 16th century, in his Kiryat Sefer, and much more expansively in his Beis Elokim, is already troubled by this issue. Beis Elokim, he's more expansive, and he asked the question that became, like, you know, the popular question against the Rambam, but was symptomatic of a group of questions. The Gemara says in Masechet Kiddushin, on Daf Mem Tes Amud Beis, you know, that if a person, you know, trying to convince, you know, I guess a reluctant bride, you know, that he's, you know, marriageable material, a good catch, as they say. So he says, Arab, you know, Mukadeshasi Almanash Shani Tzadik. So the Gemara says that, you know, the Kiddushin, at least Misafek, will be Chal, right? Shema, hear her, Bitshuva. Because maybe, you know, even if we know that he's not exactly a tzaddik, then maybe he had hirhurei tshuva. He was, you know, thinking, you know, he's in his mind he did tshuva, in other words. And therefore he would qualify as a tzaddik, as a righteous man, and he would fulfill the tana. So this is an example of other Gemaras, but obviously, you know, the says the Mabit, you don't need vidui, which is an objectification, externalization, you know, something measurable. You know, if the guy did vidui, he did vidui. But you don't need vidui. Apparently, hear her belave is sufficient to turn someone into a tzaddik. So how could the Rambam say that, you know, vidui is ma'akev, or vidui, you know, is the linchpin of tshuva? And this is a question that, you know, later the Minchas Chinuch made more famous, because not everybody, you know, had access to the Beis Elokim and the Kiryat Sefer, where it's only hinted at. This is a very enormous problem. And if you look at the Kiryat Sefer of the Mabit, you know, his solution, Hatshuva v'havidui mitzvah echad hi, you know, in order to solve this problem, he says, Tshuva and vidui are one mitzvah. She'ain vidui b'li tshuva. You can't have vidui without tshuva, because if it's just lip service, then it's meaningless. It's like, you know, going to a mikvah while you're holding a sheretz, meaning it's hypocritical and it's also ineffective. So in order for vidui to have any significance, there has to be sincere tshuva. Okay, that's fine. But what about the other way? Why is vidui ma'akev, so seemingly, the tshuva? So he says, v'habidui hu gemar ha-tshuva, apagav, d'mishihirher tshuva belibo nikret sadik v'amur, which, of course, he doesn't tell you explicitly, but that's like, you know, writing a footnote and saying, ayein, you know, b'masechet kiddushin, you know, that's the problem that he's trying to solve. Afilohochi lohavet tshuva mitzvah bifnei atzma, ela im avidui shehu gemar ha-tshuva. So the Mabit's solution to this problem is to say there are two, you know, components, two elements. It's tshuva and vidui. Vidui is gemar hatshuva, and therefore, you know, even though you can be a tzaddik, you know, with tshuva alone, but you can't fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva completely without the vidui. That is the solution of the Kiryat Sefer. I'm not aware explicitly that the Rav, you know, related to the Kiryat Sefer's, you know, suggestion. But I suspect, you know, that he, you know, was aware of it and found it mostly unattractive, at least absent his own explanation, which I'll get back to, which is what we're going to focus on in a minute. And I think the reason is, again, a hallmark of the Rav's style and, you know, his approach. And actually this, you know, is highlighted. You know, the part of the discussion, you know, that I am, you know, referring to is also an Ala Tshuva in the second, you know, of the entries here. The Rav, of course, gave these Tshuva drushes in Yiddish, and they were translated in Hebrew by Pinchas Peli, but the Rav actually was very complimentary, at least that's what my told my father and others, that he was, you know, happy with Pinchas Peli's job, although obviously he couldn't capture his own, you know, unique style and formulation. But it's interesting that the, you know, the beginning of this presentation zeroes in on a hallmark of the world of Torah and Brisk and the Rav in particular. Mikubalim anu ki aramba medakdek umedayek bekomila umila shahotzi eto. The einetzlo stam milim litiferes hamalitza. Which is the assumption that Chachmei Amisora, and this is particularly true for the Rambam, and that's why the world of Brisk, you know, because of its organizational element and its comprehensiveness, but also because of the Dio Kalashon, zeroed in particularly on the Rambam. And this was an axiomatic truth for the Rav, that the Rambam doesn't use extra words, that the Rambam's precision is beyond question. He doesn't use language just to embellish. There are no extra words, and there are no inaccurate or imprecise words either. And therefore, I suspect that the solution of the Kiryat Sefer was unattractive to the Rambam, because it doesn't sound like the Rambam is describing, you know, two components. It sounds like he's describing a background or a assumption, you know, and then a focal point of the mitzvah. The word chayav goes only on tshuva. Of course, I should add that this, you know, idea that, you know, the Rambam's language, you know, is rigorous and that it should be a source of, you know, expanding our efforts in Talmud Torah, which I think is true for any good Lamdan, but it was particularly true for the world of Bris. And I think it reflects hashkafically the, you know, omni-reverence, you know, that we are supposed to cultivate, you know, when, you know, we encounter, you know, the works of Chachmei HaMasor. We shouldn't look at them trivially or casually and just, you know, kind of, you know, assume, you know, that our inadequacies, you know, are extended to them. We use language, you know, imprecisely, you know, therefore they do as well. This reverence is something that was part of the Rav's fundamental core. When you were exposed to the Rav, whether it was in the daily shir, of course, even more, but or even, you know, those public lectures, and you can catch it if you're sensitive to it, even in some of the writings. But, of course, it is much more accessible when, you know, Einecha Roos Esmorecha, you could see, you know, the joy, but also the seriousness of how he related to, you know, each problem and every word. So this idea that, you know, of Diuk isn't just an educational reality. It is a principle. It's a way to relate to Torah Shebaal Peh, to relate to Torah, to Torah Shebaal Peh, and particularly to Chachmei HaMasor. And I think on that basis, unlikely that the Rav would have been happy, although I don't, in this piece he doesn't mention it, and the Torah Shebaal Peh that I heard didn't mention the Kiryat Sefer, but it wouldn't have been an attractive way to explain the formulation of the Rambam. What other solutions are there? So the Minchas Chinuch, and this is actually portrayed, I believe, a little inaccurately in this piece. I'm sure the Rav portrayed it accurately, but this, I think, is a little bit of an inaccuracy, or at least not the fullness of Minchas Chinuch. But the Minchas Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Samach Daled suggests, like he's really troubled by this Rambam and all these Arayas, that maybe tshuva is a reshus. It's not a chokmah, meaning it's an opportunity. And he compares it to other mitzvot reshus. It says we find in the Torah, and we find that the Rambam also, things like tzitzis and other things, where, you know, if you do a particular mitzvah, you get credit. But if you, you know, choose to neglect it at your own spiritual, to your own spiritual, you know, disadvantage, you know, you have that choice as well. It's a gift, you know. So if you want to be mekayim that mitzvah, you know, and earn the credit, and also, more importantly, you know, to immerse yourself in that particular experience, then, you know, that's great. There's a kiyum mitzvah. But there's no chiyum mitzvah. So maybe what the Rambam thought was that in tshuva, there's no chiyuv, there's only a kiyum, and then he's telling you that vidui is the way that you are mekayim the mitzvah of tshuva. In this presentation, ala tshuva, again, I wasn't there, you know, at this drasha. It was also given in Yiddish, which isn't a reason that I wouldn't have been there, but I think age-wise I wasn't there. But it might be a reason to, you know, comprehend better or more accurately what was said. But in this presentation, the Rav presents the Minchas Chinuch as saying, oh, it's obvious that you need to do tshuva. That isn't a question. You know, you're in a state of merit, and therefore you need to address that. You know, the question is whether you also get, like, an extra, you know, kiyum, you know, hamitzvah. In my opinion, if you look at the Minchas Chinuch, you know, what he's saying is much more controversial than that. And I once heard from Mori Varabi, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, you know, that the Rav's response to the Minchas Chinuch, unvarnished, as I put it, was particularly interesting, and that is he dismissed it completely, not just as being inaccurate, but fundamentally, you know, as being, you know, theologically and, you know, philosophically, you know, unacceptable. I mean, the idea that tshuva would be a reshus, that it would be like an opportunity, but one that you can choose, you know, at your own peril, you know, to ignore, you know, to decide not to capitalize on this gift, as Rav Lichtenstein put it, was something that offended the Rav to his core. He felt that the concept of tshuva, which is so much about the relationship that we build with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and, you know, which fashions the nature of our world, the idea that there could be that opportunity, and that, you know, you could choose to neglect it while legally maybe rational, was, you know, halachically, you know, in a bigger way, completely objectionable. So I think that that is, you know, what I understand. That's certainly what the Minchas Chinuch really seems to say. And I think, again, that is a hallmark, you know, in the Rav's perspective to Avodas Hashem, you know, and to halachic opportunity. In this piece, the Rav quotes the suggestion of his uncle, the author of the Avodas HaMelech, Rav Menachem Karakovsky. As the Rav used to say, you know, I had two grandfathers, Rav Chaim, of course, and also, you know, Rav Elia, you know, Prisoner, really, Rav Elio Feinstein from the Feinstein family. So Rav Elio Feinstein had several sons-in-law. One was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, one was Rav Menachem Karakovsky, hence he is the Rav's uncle. I've had some of the Karakovsky family as the Talmidim in the yeshiva, and, it's an important kesher for understanding the Rav as well. So he quotes the Avodas HaMelech as a perush on, you know, Sefer Manda, and actually in the introduction to the Avodas HaMelech, he thanks the Rav, who was a young man at the time studying at the University of Berlin. He thanks him for checking some of the manuscripts of the Rambam and Sefer Manda. And in general, if you look at the Igros HaGrid, the Rav has a couple of exchanges with his uncle. It was a very special relationship. Anyways, Rav Menachem Karakovsky in the Avodas HaMelech, you know, solves this problem or relates this problem by suggesting that tshuva is a haftaka. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam promises tshuva, and therefore it can be assumed. And as such, there's nothing offensive about that. On the contrary, it's very inspirational if it's true. But then the Rav goes on, kidarko, again in very typical fashion, which is why I'm picking this piece. What I'm trying to highlight is not just the token, but the perspective, the way of thinking. So the Rav said that, in his opinion, you know, this is not, you know, an accurate reading of all the psukim, and certainly not the Lashonas HaRambam. If you look throughout Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, Perek Zayin, and he quotes a chapter and verse, the places in which it seems clear that in addition to tshuva being a haftaka, tshuva is also a chiyuv and a mitzvah. The Rambam, you know, when he speaks about in Perek Beis, he speaks about the special opportunity of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and particularly speaks about Yom Kippur as being a time when you're chayiv lasos tshuva. That's not a haftaka. And then the Rav Kedarko, again, points out something very important, and that is that, you know, the Rambam in Perek Beis, as I mentioned, says, speaks about the chiyuv to do tshuva on Yom Kippur as a time. Yom Kippur is, you know, eis slicho mechila, you know, keit slicho mechila le Yisrael, le Yachid, le Rabim, and therefore, says the Rambam, you're chayiv lasos tshuva on Yom Kippur. And this is one of his, part of his evidence, that tshuva isn't a haftaka, tshuva is a chiyuv. So he says, you might have thought that, you know, maybe what the Rambam meant was that on Yom Kippur there's an additional or separate chiyuv, much in the same way that Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva suggests that there are two mitzvahs of tshuva. There's the mitzvah of tshuva called Shana, and there's a special independent mitzvah of tshuva on Yom Kippur, because the Torah uses the expression Lifnei Hashem Titaharu. Rabbeinu Yonah's big chiddush is that Lifnei Hashem Titaru is not a haftacha. If you do this and you do that, Ki bayom hazeh chaper aleichem l'taher eschem, right? Lifnei Hashem Elokeich, Lifnei Hashem Titaru is normally understood as a haftacha. If you do all this, the Ribbono Shel Olam will cleanse you, you know, from your sins. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, no, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. It's an exclamation point. It's like, and now you've got to do tahara, tshuva, you know, on Yom Kippur, said the Rav. So maybe that's what the Rambam has in mind, and therefore use of this kind of language doesn't reflect that tshuva kol shana isn't avtacha. So the answer is, if you look at the Koteret, or if you look at Sefer HaMitzvos, How many mitzvos does the Rambam count? If indeed he held like Rabbeinu Yonah, that there were two independent mitzvahs of tshuva, right, one of Kol Shana and one special of Yom Kippur that is, you know, singular, then in the Koteret, Tehillat Tshuva, he wouldn't say mitzvah achas, when this line in the Rambam about Yom Kippur appears in Perek Beis. So again, that is a typical, not just of the Rav, but, you know, Rambam, you know, microscopic readers. It's important to understand the closed system of the Rambam, every word, every, you know, decision in counting mitzvos, in formulating them, is part of the global effort to, you know, more precisely, more accurately define, you know, what the Rambam's actual position really is. And that's why he dismisses, you know, the position of even of his uncle, etc. And then he adds a line here, which I think is also very, very characteristic, here on page 40. Baram, Klum l'rayos me'ein elu anu tzrichim. The Rav says, and do I really need evidence, you know, to demonstrate, you know, that this emphasis on bidui is problematic, or the under, you know, emphasis on tshuva? V'chi mi yuchal halot al adat shevidui yechashev l'mitzvah v'ilu tshuva einochem. V'chi tachem vidui below tshuva? Ma erko shel vidui kazeh uma mashma'uto. So, you know, again, I believe this to be a characteristic line. Of course, you know, evidence is critical in halachic analysis. And, you know, kihem chayenu, our values come from the Torah and from the halacha. And, you know, it's important that we relate to our learning and the conclusions that we derive, halachic and hashkafic, and from the Rav's perspective, the integration of both, that we do that with great care, that we do that with humility, you know, and the concept of reconstruction is a particularly critical aspect of Talmud Torah in the world of Brisk, you know, which the Rav represents magnificently, meaning the idea that, you know, we are mitzuvim, and even our understanding, I'll use, you know, my terminology for this, but inspired by that, you know, the idea of Nasa v'Nishma, which is Klal Yisrael's, you know, acceptance of the Torah, you know, Nasa first and Nishma last, in my opinion, you know, from this perspective, has an additional meaning. And that is, when it comes to any area of halacha, it's always Nasa v'Nishma. You know, first we have to analyze the data. First we have to immerse ourselves, commit ourselves, you know, to the minutiae of halacha. And then, and only then, as an insider and from the inside, we try to sort out the nishma. Superimposing, like, other systems and their, you know, logic on the system of halacha is something that is anathema. That is, you know, obviously, you know, good halachic policy. It's a core principle in the world of Brisk and its emphasis on inner logic. It's one of the reasons that Brisk was so drawn not only to the Rambam, but to the worlds of Kachim and Taros and Zroim in particular. And it's something that the Rav probably, Zatzal, more than any other of the Briskers, you know, articulated, you know, in his writings, and especially as he, you know, tried, you know, to expand, you know, the world of Brisk beyond, you know, simply deciphering or, you know, reconstructing what the halakha is, but also understanding how that fits in with the experience, you know, and the hashkafa. So the idea that, you know, you have to work from within and that you need proof and that you are reconstructing the evidence and that that is the foundation of your thought world is a sine qua non. At the same time, the idea that, you know, once you've done that, you are an insider, you are, you know, familiar with, you know, are attuned to the system, you put in your years of investment and you are batel ritzon chal ritzon no, are part of it, the idea that then, you know, your own logic, you know, plays an outsized role, you know, that's also true. There are two parts of the Rav's magnificent, you know, presentation in what for many years was his only publication, you know, Ish Halacha. The first part is about surrendering to the system, And the second half is all about having surrendered, being an insider, you know, whose own insight becomes part of the system. So the Rav's comment here, which is, and do we really need rayas, you know, that, you know, tshuva is more than a haftacha, and that it's not something that can be a rishus, nor is it simply a given? Our logic dictates that the Rambam's emphasis on vidui over that of tshuva is simply perplexing, even if we had no rayas. It's very consistent, you know, with that way of thinking. What is the Rav's solution? And this is well known, very famous, but I'd like to zero in on it just a little bit more. So the Rav suggests that you have to look carefully at the language of the Rambam, but you also have to be sensitive, you know, to the nature of, you know, halakha and mitzvos generally, to be aware that there are two types of mitzvos. There are certain mitzvos where, this is what he suggests, the Maisa HaMitzvah and the Kiyum HaMitzvah coincide. The act that you perform, excuse me, fully captures, you know, the mitzvah. Interesting, you know, that he exemplifies this by lulav, you know, but lulav, matzah, for other reasons I'm not going to get into right now, but lulav, matzah, many other mitzvos, you know, the performance is the mitzvah. The performance is the experience. However, says the Rav, there are certain mitzvos where the action, meaning the way that you accomplish the mitzvah, the mechanism, we'll call it, the vehicle, is just that, it's a vehicle. But in addition to the vehicle, it's supposed to trigger a certain effect, you know, intellectually and emotionally and experientially, you know, in an internal effect. There's a Maisa HaMitzvah, which is external, and there is a Kiyum Shebelev, you know, which is internal. So when it comes to, let's say, lulav, and it comes to, you know, sitting in a sukkah, and it comes to, you know, eating matzah, you know, those two things are integrated. However, gives a number of examples. You know, when it comes to, you know, Avelus, we have Nihuge Avelus. There are things that you do, right, to trigger an emotional response, right? So the Nihuge Avelus, you know, some of which are only Durabanan, or many of which are, according to some, are Durabanan, but nonetheless, they produce an Aninus Shebelev, they trigger, or they you know, engender certain feelings, and the effect, the feeling, is the Kiyum HaMitzvah, while the actions are the Maisa HaMitzvah. When you say Kriya Shema, so the words that you repeat, and there's a way to say them. You know, you have to say them, you know, Ad She'ashmi Eli Oznav. You know, you have to pronounce the words properly. You know, there's an argument whether they have to be said, you know, B'Lashon HaKodesh or B'Kol Lashon. There are many rules. You have to say them at a certain time, and in a certain place, and with a certain background. There are many dinim of Kriya Shema that focus on the Maisa HaMitzvah. But, argues the Rav, in the end of the day, there's also, this Maisa Mitzvah is supposed to trigger a Kiyum Belev of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Simchas Yom Tov is expressed by wearing certain kind of clothes, you know, maybe buying presents in the family, you know, Shtias Yayin and Achilas Basar, but it's the feeling of Simchas Yom Tov, which is the Kiyum Shebelev. Tefillah, again, is about words. There are all sorts of laws in Hilchos Tefillah. The Yeshiva is learning Masechet Brachos, maybe not that part, but you know, the middle part, Kriya Shema is the beginning, and then comes Tefillah. You know, there are rules about how to daven, when to daven, the Nusach HaTefillah, etc. But the idea of Tefillah is to be Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, which is why the concept of Kavana in Tefillah differs from other requirements of Kavana. It's not part of the broader rubric of the discussion of the mitzvot strichos, for example, or ein strichos, you know, kavan. So the Rav argues the same is true with tshuva. Tshuva has a maisa hamitzvah and it has a kiyum hamitzvah. And this is a suggestion. I'm not convinced that it always is consistent, but the Rav makes the suggestion here that typically, but again, the suggestion is characteristic, that if you look at the structure of the Rambam, I'll say often, he says, you know, a little bit more strongly, when there is a discrepancy between the language of the Rambam in his koteret, you know, in the crown that precedes the halachos, as opposed to his formulation in the actual body of the halachos themselves, then typically it's because the halachos deal with the nitty-gritty with the actual maisa ha-mitzvah, whereas the koteret is revealing the kiyum ha-mitzvah, shebelev usually, that you're supposed to feel. And in Hilchos Tshuva, the way the Rambam read it, was that Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph, far more favors the vidui, which that part I think is certainly true. Kishayasa tshuva viyashuv mecheto chayev lehisvados, because that's what you're supposed to do. That's the vehicle. That's the act of tshuva. Whereas the Hilchos Tshuva, the koteret says yashuv hachotei mecheto lifnei Hashem viyisvada. You might say that the you know, the mabit explanation that these are just two components for tshuva gemura works a lot better in the koteret than it does, you know, in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. The Rav would say that, you know, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph is focusing on the Maisa Mitzvah, which is what the halachos are all about, and the Koteret is focusing more on the experience. So there are two aspects of tshuva. There is the vidui, and then there is the kiyum shebelev of tshuva. So this idea, of course, on the one hand, is very typical of, again, the thinking of Brisk, which is to kind of strip, when there's reason to kind of strip an idea, you know, into its, you know, components, to try to identify the different dimensions, like, of a single concept. And, you know, what looks like the same, you know, when you look at it under a microscope, turns out to be, comprised of different elements. And if you can strip those elements, you know, if you can identify them, and in some cases, if you can isolate them, you know, that becomes the basis for good, you know, halachic analysis and good lamdas, you know, to produce distinctions which are not there, you know, for intellectual gymnastics, but so that we can better understand Dvar Hashem, meaning, you know, the stakes in Talmud Torah and in this kind of subtle analysis, you know, are not about intellectual satisfaction. They are about, you know, pursuing, you know, to the nth degree, as much as possible, Dvar Hashem, Kihem Chayenu, V'Oref Yameinu. That's what's significant and meaningful in our life. And therefore, this distinction between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyama Mitzvah, which we find in other, you know, parts of the world of Brisk as well, is a mechanism, is a way, if the evidence, you know, bears up, to underscore, you know, the true nature of the mitzvah. But I think, you know, that there's another element, you know, here. The Rav used this distinction between Maisa Mitzvah and Kiyama Mitzvah, in my opinion, and this is a comment that I also heard when the Rav was Niftar, so the yeshiva had a Divrei Hesped. I don't remember if it was on the Shloshim or earlier. My impression that it was earlier, maybe a week after, you know, right when people came back, the Rav was Niftar on Chol HaMoed Pesach. You know, there were, I think Rabbi Lam spoke, and Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky, the Rav's son-in-law, spoke, and Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik spoke. And I remember being very taken when Rabbi Yitzchak Twersky spoke. One of the insights that he conveyed, which I had always thought, and I just think he articulated it in a very magnificent way, was that the Rav's more ubiquitous use of the distinction between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyama Mitzvah in his thinking really was reflective, you know, of his additional nofech, you know, mishalom. And that's, again, one of the reasons that I, in addition to being an important theme and the first theme of tshuva and reflecting other aspects of the Rav's derech ha-chashiva and his, you know, hashkafic priorities, what he was trying to suggest was that if you take a step back and you think about it, the distinction between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Kiyama Mitzvah is not, you know, merely a, you know, Satz, Gavra, and Cheftza, you know, Chalos and Maisa. It's not exactly, you know, the same you know, as some of the other, you know, subtle distinctions that characterize that world. In a very real sense, it also is a bridge between, you know, the role of halakha as something that is concrete and norm-oriented and objective on the one hand, but that also relates to the inner experience, to the emotional side, to the sense of, you know, being nochach lifnei Hashem on the other as well. And in the Rav's, you know, Hashkafic writings, Ishalacha, Bikashtem, Misham, the end of the halakhic mind, you know, his many, many, you know, drushos, and now many of them are accessible. They weren't so much in his lifetime, but, you know, they were lectures, they were talks that he gave, and they certainly, you know, were reflected, you know, in the understanding of this Talmidim. The Rav's additional nofek to take the concretization and the objectification and the externalization of the halakha and to wed that with you know, an experiential and emotional inner element is truly, you know, something, you know, which highlighted, you know, his singular contribution. And the idea that that is the case in tshuva, you know, of course, is extremely compelling. And again, our time is almost up. I got several severe warnings about going overtime. I don't know why people think I go overtime, but either way, it's, you know, bad rep, as they say. But of course, we're not going to go overtime. So you know, the Rav's suggestion about the rest of Vidui and how the Rambam formulated, what started with Anna, you know, why does it patterned after the Vidui of the Kohen Gadol, you know, on Yom Kippur? And why does he keep, you know, speaking about tshuva, lifnei Hashem Elokeich, in this piece and other pieces? He goes on to try to explain the rich and complex message of the Vidui. It's not simply that, like, technically, halakhically, we solved the problem. The Rambam means the Maisa Mitzvah is Vidui. Of course, the Kiyum Shebaleiv is tshuva. What is it about Vidui, you know, that underscores, that makes it the best vehicle? So number one, the need to externalize and concretize, that's exactly what is unique about halacha, Judaism, as a religion, and halacha as a system, as opposed to other religions. It's all about the objectification of emotions and experiences and values that are codified, you know, in an objective, you know, way, and in a way, you know, whose attunement, you know, produces, you know, greater loyalty and fidelity, you know, to the concepts and to the principles. But the choice of a particular maisa mitzvah to express a certain kiyum mitzvah, you know, that is, of course, you know, as I say, that is the rub. That's the core of the enterprise. And the rub suggestion that Anna, you know, kind of reflects a recognition that, you know, tshuva is a gift. And it's, you know, not natural, because typically, like Yerushalmi says, doesn't quote the Yerushalmi here, but in Makos, if you sin, you should get punished. You know, this gift is something that we reflect by one word, by saying Anna. And Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem establishes that Vidui isn't just confession, it's confession that is turned into tefillah, into a prayer. And that ultimately, Lifnei Hashem is the goal of tshuva and of all of Avodas Hashem. So that the careful language that the Rambam uses in crafting this mechudash emphasis of Vidui as the best mechanism to convey tshuva ends up being a magnificent mechanism, you know, that really in a microcosmic way highlights or captures what is unique about the Torah's perspective about the relationship between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in that sense, the Rav's treatment of it is a bit of a microcosm, only a bit, of his own unique contribution and approach, which has left an indelible impact, you know, on all of his Talmidim, on Klal Yisrael, and especially on this Beis Medrash. All of you are Talmidim, if not of the Rav's Talmidim, of the Talmidei Talmidim. And, you know, whether conscious or unconscious, that impact, you know, continues to resonate You know, we say Chabal al da'avdin, v'lo mishtakhim, with certain great men. You can never replace every one of the Chachmim, so it's irreplaceable. A kriya she'ena mis'acha in its own way. But there's a certain nechama, the demus yukno and the Torah of, you know, of great men, you know, continuing to reverberate, continuing to trigger, you know, curiosity and creativity, and especially Yira Shamayim, and an attunement and a tremendous commitment to the totality of the halacha. And that is certainly true in the Rambam's presentation, controversial as it is, of vidui as the cornerstone of tshuva. Thank you.